Ladies and gentlemen, good evening and thank you for coming to the Dillon Public Library for this Meet the Candidates event. My name is Mark. You're not going to hear me for another 30 seconds. In the event of an emergency, please use the nearest exit. You've got the center doors back there, these doors to your left and to your right. At this point, Margie, where are you, Margie?
I'm right here.
Oh, Margie, I'm going to introduce Margie Skinner of the Albany League of Women Voters, and I thank you for putting this together, and we thank you all for coming. We're going to close the doors because we are danger close to getting near the fire code, and I know there's a fire marshal in here somewhere. Thank you.
I see one empty seat.
This is empty.
It is empty, right, okay. And you have to sit next to a radio personality that you may or may not. She may sing songs in your ear if she does more. But you can see she's a lovely person. Thank you all for coming tonight. My name is Margie Skinner. I am just the moderator. I am with the League of Women Voters of Albany County. This is co-sponsored by our league and the Schenectady County League, and also the Gilderland Library.
And the Altamont Library.
Anyone else want to take responsibility? And so it was a great committee of people. There are a number of people that have index cards that look like this. And if you have a question and you want to write it down and turn it in, it will eventually work its way up to me. We are doing some screening so that we don't repeat ourselves. We don't ask the same questions. We'll try to group questions that are on the same topic. But my first job is to introduce the candidates, and they are George Amador, the incumbent in this 46th Senate District, and Sarah Nicoli, is that how you say
Nicoli.
It? Nicoli. Who is not the incumbent, is challenging him for the seat. According to vote411.org, which has to be very accurate, George is running on the Republican, Independent, Conservative, Green and Reform Party lines,
yes.
And
yes.
Sarah is running on the Democrat, Working Families, and Women's Equality Party lines. Okay. And if you don't know how I figured that out, there's a wonderful website called vote411.org, and it has lots of information, including that. The rules are, and you all got programs, so I'm going to summarize the rules for the candidates. Their opening statements are 3 minutes each. They get to answer questions 2 minutes each and closing remarks, and they will take turns, and we will hopefully keep track of how they're doing and alternate them. I got a pen, so I'll be able to do that. We have to choose lots to determine who goes first, so I'm telling you what I'm going to do here, because I didn't do that. So I'm going to write a 1 on one of these, and a 2 on the other one. Fold them up, then they have to give them back because there's very important notes on these pieces of paper. And mix them up, and you get to pick first. You can pick one. I'm not going to hand you one. You get to pick on the other one and tell me what your number is.
One.
So Sarah goes first and George goes second. Okay. There we go. Easy enough. Then each candidate will respond to questions in rotated order. The questions come from you. I have some in my head, but I'm not going to use them because I know that there are lots of them that are coming from you. General rules, campaign signs, t-shirts, or demonstrations for or against any candidate are not allowed. I see most of you have your things stripped from you, ripped off of you, your candidate labels. If you still have one, cover it up, take it off. Cell phones have to be on vibrate or turned off. Only approved media can record or photograph, and we have at least 3 people doing that. We have a fellow who's doing it for us, and it will be on the library's website and our website in full within the next 2 days, I would say. So you have plenty of time between now and Election Day to take a look and to tell your friends who couldn't get in the door how to find out what these candidates are saying. I ask that you withhold your applause. The less interruptions we have, the more questions we can get in. And afterwards, there will be loads of campaign literature outside that you can take home with you. One more little announcement. The mail-in deadline for absentee ballots is a week from today, November 1st. If you need an absentee ballot and you're mailing it in, it has to be postmarked a week from today. If you can carry it into the Board of Elections, you have until the day before the election. You can't go in on Election Day and get an absentee ballot. You have to be there the day before, and you can fill out your application and fill out your ballot and take care of it all at the same time. Okay? That's all I have to say. So I'm going to, Sarah, you were number one, so you get to do your opening statement first.
Sure, and I'm gonna just stand up so everybody can see me and hopefully hear me. Is my mic working? Mic check.
Hey, Mark.
Mark, I'm sorry,
the doors were open because you're trying to put seats
out
here.
Wait, I want Mark to turn on the mics.
He showed me now.
Oh, okay.
Press in the button until the red light comes on.
Chris, in this little button here?
Chris is different than his. I think so.
We may not be close enough, so.
Oh, and while they're doing that, we do have timekeepers so that, you know, I said they have 3 minutes and 2 minutes. It's not just a winging it. There are two women in front with cards that give them a warning and a minute to go and 30 seconds to go, and we'll stop them. Okay, now.
All right. Okay, can folks hear me now?
No.
Mic check.
Okay, timer's ready.
With a great deal of suspense, I'm Sarah Nicoli, and I'm running for New York State Senate because the families of upstate New York are in desperate need of honest representation. I grew up in a working class family in the Albany area, and I'm really excited because I see some high school colleagues that I graduated with. We lived all over. When the rent went up, we moved. I had the benefit of a top-notch education from Albany High School. I made my way through the University at Albany on waitressing tips. I got my master's degree in public administration at NYU, and I've been serving in the nonprofit sector ever since. As a child, I had the opportunity to spend time on a farm just over on Old State Road. It became my dream to live on a farm, so I married a farmer who's sitting here in the front row. I'm a mom. I have a daughter in the eighth grade. And if there's any one thing that pushed me into this race, it was our experience in a rural public school. Between the overtesting, the rollout of Common Core, and the systematic underfunding of the school, our family was devastated, and we had to make difficult decisions. As a farmer, I understand the need to invest in small businesses and family farms that form the backbone of our communities. I'm a town supervisor in the town of Palatine. I see how high property taxes are squeezing people out and killing the local economies. And I'm an advocate. I've been the director of the New York State Labor Religion Coalition for 5 years. I work with clergy and faith leaders to fight to raise the minimum wage, to pass paid family leave, and to secure school funding. It shouldn't be so hard to get elected representatives to do the right thing. But thanks to the special interests that have so heavily invested in George Amador, our communities are left without a voice. As state senator, I will fight to give the families of our district the voice we so desperately need.
Are you going to come over here, or you want?
I think you can hear me.
Oh, look, it's fixed. Okay.
You can hear me.
So I first want to thank everyone for attending. This is very important, and I love these types of forums. And I want to thank the Gilda Lynn and Altamont Library and the Women League of Voters for hosting this forum this evening. 2 years ago, the 46th Senate District, the voters of the district, had a choice to make. And they chose to elect me as their state senator. And during that campaign, I made many different promises throughout the election cycle. I talked a lot about, we all love New York, we just can't afford New York. I talked about how the inequities of the lack of school funding, the GEA, the gap elimination adjustment, was crippling our rural and upstate schools. I talked about the 18A utility tax, which was a tax imposed when we had one-party rule in the state government. We talked about a lot of different things, and I made some promises to you. I made promises that it's time that we get our fair share here in upstate New York. Well, as your state senator, these last 2 years, I helped deliver record increase in school funding and school aid throughout all of the districts of the 46th Senate District. We eliminated the GEA 100%. In the last 2 years, I fought hard to eliminate the 18A utility tax, which will not be on your utility bill as of January 2017. And the list goes on. I also made a promise about the women's equality agenda. And my very first bill that I was able to vote on in the state senate was exactly that. And I'm proud to be able to bring the help, sponsor, and pass the women's equality agenda, which brings equal pay for equal work, protects women from workplace violence or domestic violence, sexual harassment, and women who are pregnant in the workforce. That is now law. And so I have made a priority in investing in infrastructure, making sure that upstate New York gets its fair share. Today, upstate New York finally has parity. Parity that brings equal opportunity for our roads, our bridges, equal in the state budget, equal to the MTA in New York City. So, I have fought, I am working on getting our fair share, and I am proud that we were able to pass an income tax reduction on middle class families, as well as extend the property tax cap and restore the tax rebate checks. We are trying to make New York more affordable, and I will continue to fight to do that. Thank you.
All right, again, if you applaud after every comment, you'll knock out about four questions. So let's try to get as many questions in. I already have more questions than I think we can get through tonight, and I'm bunching them up. So first question, there's been a couple of things on ethics reform. I will just ask, and George, you'll go first. What plans do you have to reform ethics? And here's a suggestion. Why do we have to open the New York State Constitution for ethics reform? Why can't we do an amendment like it was done in January 2015? Okay, so, or whatever you want to say about ethics reform.
Well, that's great, and that's a very important issue. We all know we're sick and tired as New Yorkers seeing what's going on in the cesspool of Albany with corruption. More indictments, more elected officials who are now found guilty of felonies who are going to go to jail. On top of that, you and I, the taxpayers, are so darn tired of the fact that we would have to, for the rest of their lives as they sit in jail, fund their pensions. They only earned that pension while they held office. So it's time that we pass pension forfeiture. I was happy that that both houses in Albany passed it, and now we need to pass it next year again so that it can go on the ballot for all New Yorkers to vote for this constitutional amendment in November 2017. But that's not enough. I will advocate and work hard for term limits. It's about time that we stop this career politician cycle in Albany. All elected officials need term limits. I've self-imposed term limits on myself, but it's time that we have the high quality of elected officials that are not making a career out of public service, as well as more transparency and more disclosures. We need real disclosures, real-time disclosures and transparency. The bills that I voted for in the past with ethics reforms has brought about a lot of sunlight. And you look at these recent convictions or indictments, it's because of more transparency, more disclosures, that now we finally have someone looking into it and finding the unethical characters. And so we're doing it, we need to do more, and that's what we need in Albany with ethics reform.
Thanks. Sarah?
Does this work now?
No.
I don't want to say it, but my mic actually doesn't work.
So the problem of ethics in Albany and corruption in Albany, no. The problem of corruption in Albany is not a problem of punishing legislators. I absolutely support pension forfeiture for anybody who has broken the law and used their seat to line their own pockets. However, we have a huge systemic problem. Our problem is legislators who are sitting there and not serving the people. This happens in two ways. One, legislators who put their other job first, in the case of George Amador. George Amador's first job is his real estate development firm. And it's no wonder that millions and millions of dollars from the real estate industry have been invested into his campaign. So what we have here is real estate developers giving to real estate developers to make real estate development policy on behalf of New Yorkers. Now what we really need is an elected leader who is going to put community first. In our last campaign finance filing, only five individuals gave to George Amador's campaign at an average contribution of $9,500. In our filing, 2,500 individuals gave to our campaign at an average contribution of $15. We need to eliminate outside income and reform campaign finance to put people first. Thank you.
You may as well stay because you're going to get this one. I've sort of bunched some education questions together, and I hope that within 2 minutes you can sort of bunch your answers together. But this is what came in. Do you think our local schools are getting their fair share of state aid? What's your position on charter schools? What would you consider the fairest way to fund education? We'll do that, and we'll talk about higher education later. This is just up to high school.
Will you say that it was local schools getting enough, charter schools, and...
And just do we, how do you, how would you fund, the fairest way to fund education?
Our local schools are not getting enough funding for education. My daughter is absolutely the expert on this, but I can try to explain our experience in rural school district where our schools had been gutted. We lost our art teacher. We had two computer technology teachers, went down to one. She was doubled up in English and math classes. This saved money on having teachers, but also it happened to play to the testing so that students were really being taught to the test. And she went from being a child who was really excited to go to school to being warehoused throughout the day. New York State owes its children across the state $3.9 billion in education funding. I will fight for New York State Senate District 46 to get its $60 million in owed funding. Now, this translates to our children's future. We're selling out the next generation. And this is what really made me so angry as a parent, is just because of my daughter's zip code, Albany already gave up on her. She was never given the opportunity to achieve as like a child in Westchester or Long Island could. And that's not right. Every child deserves a quality education. How do we fund it? We don't fund it through property taxes. This is our problem. Over the last 30 years, Albany politicians have pushed the school tax burden to local homeowners, farmers, small businesses. That's not right. We need to restore state aid and fund our schools properly. And I'm opposed to charter school expansion.
Okay, George?
That's an important question. No doubt you and I in this room, we all want good quality education. And as New Yorkers, we have the highest cost of education per pupil. It's about quality, but it's also about the state coming up with their share of it. It's time that we take it off of the backs of the property owners and we fund our education differently. Make it more fair across the board where every New Yorker is paying and investing in a child's education. What does that look like? Well, it needs to be discussed, talked about, figured out in Albany. And I am trying to do that in Albany. There's no question that the gap elimination adjustment, which was imposed, by the way, when we had one-party rule with the New York City Democrats controlling all levels of government in Albany, they're the ones that stripped in the 46th Senate District $187 million away from the 46th Senate District schools. Now, is that really fair? They didn't cut New York City schools. We're talking about $187 million that in these last 2 years I was able to fight for our fair share and get it restored because we eliminated the gap elimination adjustment. And we need to do more. The foundation aid needs to be adjusted. It needs to be more fair and balanced for all schools, not just for an urban school, but all schools across the board. So, how we fund education, the formula of education, which most people can't even understand, even those in that big, giant Board of Education or the Department of Education building may not understand at times. We need a simple system that is going to be fair, equitable, that funds our schools so that our teachers can teach and our children have the resources and our property owners, our seniors, can afford to stay in the homes that they grew up in and raise their family in. As far as charter schools, look, we really don't have much charter schools here in upstate. It's really a New York City issue. But I believe that we have to have good quality schools across the board for all of our children. Thank you.
Okay, now we are getting some negative feedback from the people in back who can hear George pretty well, but they can't hear Sarah. One suggestion is that they share the same equipment. If somehow that little mic can be just passed back and forth, I think that might solve the problem. We'll see how that works. All right. See, we can work together. Okay, the next question is job opportunities. So actually, George, it's your turn to go first. So. All right. So it's job opportunities, and there's a couple of questions here, I think, that add up. What will you do to create more job opportunities? This is the key to the future of our state, especially upstate. For both candidates, I read recently in the Times Union, 20% of children in Albany County, 40% of children in the city of Albany live below the poverty line. What can you propose to help improve their lives? And there was one more just on economic development. So if you want to give your plans for economic development, that would be.
Well, it's about, the original question is about our workforce and the lack of jobs for our children, really. I co-chair the Task Force on Workforce Development in the Senate, and I literally have traveled the entire state of New York working on this issue. And we came up with a comprehensive plan and a roadmap on how we can educate our children that will best be the practices for making them job ready. You see, I am an employer. We employ 30 people right here in the Capital Region. And just down the road is my main office. And yes, as a small business owner, I understand the pain, the difficulty, the frustration that we all face in New York. Because New York government is heavy on our backs and deep in our pockets across the board at small businesses. And it's time that that changes. Because when we fuel the private sector and small businesses to do what they know how to do, put their business plan to market and allow them to thrive, opportunities, job opportunities, workforce development, training centers, more revenues coming into local government will start to come in. So we need to improve in workforce development plans, foster that connection with the private sector and our universities and community colleges and those partnerships to make sure that our workforce, our children are ready. Vocational education experience is a big plus and much needed. It's very needed right now in our education system. The 46th Dennett District has a P-TECH school, which is an ag P-TECH school, one of a kind in the whole entire nation. And it is about inspiring our young people to be involved in the agricultural industry, which is the number one industry in the state of New York. And it's about vocational experience that they are getting in that classroom.
We're losing the middle class across the United States and in New York State. Those middle class jobs that form the backbone of the economy when my grandfather was a working man are gone. He worked in a factory his entire career. My grandparents had a little house. They raised four kids. My grandmother raised the children. And they never had to worry about things like a pension or affordable health care. And yet this was a working class job. He never had more than a high school education. Those opportunities don't exist anymore. The new economy is piecemeal. It's multiple low-wage jobs. It's jobs that don't have health care and benefits. We don't have pensions. And that creates a huge level of anxiety. Across the 46th Senate District, families are really struggling. And in fact, my family thought about, we thought about P-TECH. It serves 50 kids. It's an amazing program. But 50 kids a year, I mean, more than 50, but 50 per year they accept. So, per grade. So this isn't a sweeping solution. We need to fundamentally change how we build the local economy. And we do that by, number one, investing in small businesses and family farms. Number two, making sure every job pays a living wage, has access to benefits, and a pathway to secure retirement. And number three, we protect our natural resources so that the tourism industry and businesses along the river are able to thrive and be resilient in extreme weather instances.
This is going to seem like a setup, but this was my next question. Our district relies heavily on tourism and agriculture. What will you do? I could have flipped in front of it. I found another one, but I had already focused on this one. What will you do to protect our natural resources? And I'm going to tack on to it. Fracking has been banned in New York State, but we have seen several proposed natural gas pipelines that would run through upstate New York. What's your position on the construction of pipelines? Kind of two related questions. Okay, Sarah, you go first.
So there are three things that we need our state senator to do, and it's our current state senator, Georgia Amador, is not doing any of them. Number one is fulfill that original campaign promise from 2014 to really invest in renewable infrastructure. That hasn't happened, and time is running out. We are facing a climate crisis. This is the defining issue of our century, and Albany politicians are dragging their heels. We need a real investment here, and it's a twofer because it also puts people to work. The second thing that we need to do is improve resiliency and the infrastructure we need in order for our communities to withstand those 100-year floods that now come every few years, the droughts that we're experiencing now, the hurricanes. Our communities, we know they're coming. It's happening with increasing instances, and we need to address it. The third thing we need to do is oppose bad projects that will destroy our natural resources. Our Jordanador has been absolutely silent on the Pilgrim pipeline. We need to stop the Pilgrim pipeline. Jordanador has been silent on the anchorages of oil barges along the Hudson. We need to stop those anchorages. The expansion of the Newmarket project, which is just down the road from our schools in Fort Plain, we need to stop these projects between the expansion of the pipelines, the bomb trains running through our district, and the oil barges. This is bad news for the 46th, and we need a senator who's really going to stand strong against them.
So the question was about tourism, how we're going to boost our tourism, the potential, and no question, the 46th Senate District, if you know anything about it, it's five counties. Montgomery, Schenectady, Albany, Greene, Ulster counties. What does it have in it? It's a throughway district. It goes from exit 29 all the way down to exit 18, the New Falls exit 18, all the way to Canajay area exit 29. So, tourism, vital. What have we done? Well, you look at Taste New York, you look at the opportunities that we have already funded in our ag and markets, and all of the advancements that we have made, and the monies and the investments that has been, in the budget since I've been a senator for small businesses to thrive and to attract tourism. You look at also what we have, a natural resource, the Catskill Park region. I was the first senator to get a line item last year in the state budget, and also this year reappropriated a $500,000 for the Catskill Park Coalition. Why? Because that is a underutilized incubator of economic opportunity, tourism attraction, as well as vitality of our natural resources, because it brings about good stewardship and conservation programs that they could not implement. And I'm proud to fight for that, to get our fair share for that. So tourism is very important to the 46th Senate District. Agriculture is very important to the 46th Senate District. And the pipelines that run through, that could run through these various districts, this district, yes, it's all about the local input and local control, not some special interest group with some paid advertisements that come out of Washington or New York City dictating what the quality of life should be here in the 46th Senate District. It's all about the localities and the local governments doing the thorough investigation in those specific projects. And I'm on the record of proposing of being against those pipelines in this district. Thank you.
Okay, I have a kind of a slanted question here, and so I'm not going to read the slanted question. I would ask you to make your questions more general. They can be on very specific topics, and I'm not 100% certain if they're going to favor somebody or one of the other candidates, but basically it's a question on the SAFE Act. And George, you'll go first. I just want you to tell me how you feel about the SAFE Act today and in the future.
You really want me to tell you how I feel about the SAFE Act? It's a no-brainer. Everyone knows how I feel about the SAFE Act. And the only solution to the SAFE Act is 100% repeal of the SAFE Act. Because it's wrong. It has not brought any safety. It has not brought any type of public safety whatsoever. As a matter of fact, the Attorney General just today had a report that came out that 70% of gun crimes are caused by out-of-state guns. We don't have a gun problem in the state of New York or in this country, a gun control problem. What we have is a godless problem, and that's up to the individuals. So repeal the SAFE Act. It has not brought any public, any safety. It has not stopped any shooting of gang violence. It has not stopped the flow of illegal guns. It has not stopped the flow of narcotics coming in. It has not stopped anything but make law-abiding citizens now lawbreakers. and infringes on our Constitution, our constitutional right, and our amendment, the Second Amendment, the right to bear arms for its citizens.
I guess you have an opinion. I'll just say that. Sarah. Sorry. Sarah?
So unlike George Amador, I live a life which requires the use of firearms as a tool, as a farmer. We use firearms to humanely put down animals, livestock when they need to be taken care of, to defend our livestock against predators. And so I am absolutely a supporter of the Second Amendment. And I believe it's really important that responsible gun owners are able to access firearms and use them as they need to and as they see fit. I was absolutely opposed to the way that the SAFE Act was passed. It went through without due process. It went through as a message of necessity and without public input. And so in some ways, it was very flawed. Some of the things that I think are really important, and when I think about the gun violence issue and gun rights issue, I think we need to have people who actually use guns and people who have been impacted by gun violence to be the ones who are having this conversation and civil discourse. Because there is an answer here, but clearly we haven't gotten to it because gun violence continues to exist, and responsible gun owners feel like they've been left out of the process. I absolutely support background checks. That was passed as part of the SAFE Act. I also support the protections against people who have pistol permits their names are not FOIA-able anymore, and public records. SAFE Act did that. It also increased the penalties on people who kill uniformed officers or hurt uniformed officers in the line of duty. I agree with those provisions of the SAFE Act, but there were other provisions that I certainly take issue with, and those mainly involve the right of responsible gun owners to maintain firearms.
All right, again, please. Now, these are a couple of questions about a specific issue that I know the Senate has held hearings on in the last couple of years, and so I'm going to ask Sarah first. I would like to hear your position and then George's position on the heroin epidemic and drug problem. Do you have any plans, or what would you support to reduce drug overdoses, especially since there are so many people who are repeatedly being resuscitated by naloxone? And anyway, it's a major problem, and I know the Senate has had hearings, so do you have a solution to offer or direction to go?
So I'm going to say
yeah.
So the heroin epidemic is really about two things. One is the economy and the incredible hopelessness that we see in our communities across upstate New York. And as long as we don't address that root cause of hopelessness and the feeling that there isn't a future, we're not going to truly address the heroin epidemic. On the other hand, we can't just wait for the economy to get better. We really need to invest in treatment and prevention programs. And right now in New York State, there just isn't enough treatment and prevention available for people who may be struggling with drug addiction and abuse issues. So as a state senator, the first thing I can do to address the problem is to really invest in our local economies. And that'll take some time, but we'll get there. And the second thing that we need to do is grow that funding for treatment and prevention. And I just want to say that I'm 39 years old, and I never expected this to come around again. I grew up in the 80s at the time of the crack epidemic, and then the economy started to get a little better. But as soon as the economy dropped out, the epidemic comes back. And we need to recognize that correlation as leaders. And then also, I'm out on doors all the time. I don't have the big money that George Amador does to win this campaign. So all I do is walk and talk to people. And this is devastating our community. Knock on a door, talk to a woman who just, breaks down in tears because she lost her son last year. And she recognizes this is about hopelessness. She also brought up education. She said that he was a special needs student and he didn't have access to the services that he needed in his school.
Well, I'm glad you brought up the heroin epidemic, and it's no question. There's not a person in this room who's not been affected by addiction, abuse, or substance. We are tired, sick and tired of hearing and reading about young people in the obituaries in the local papers. We're tired of seeing our family courts being flooded with foster children. We're tired of seeing our jails being filled with someone who was bound by an addiction. We're tired of seeing our children and family services, our men and women who work in our county DSSs that offer the support in the communities for those who are vulnerable in society. They're overwhelmed by the workload. And why? Because of the heroin epidemic, because of addiction in general. Now, I co-chair the task force on heroin and opiate addiction, and I am the chair of the New York State Senate Committee of Substance Abuse, Alcoholism and Substance Abuse. I travel the entire state. And you can't find a corner on any county that hasn't been bound by this epidemic. It's a scourge that's running rampant. And yes, maybe because, and I agree with my opponent on some of the things she's talking about with economic oppression and all oppression, but it's also about a four-pronged approach that I have championed and that we have now start to see New York be in the forefront of any other state in the nation of bringing about this approach. Prevention, whether it's for the doctors who are prescribing the narcotic all the way down to the child in the classroom, and every effort in funding those efforts. To treatment, and closing the gaps that we have in this system of families being told by the insurance companies that they can't get funding because they can't get treatment because they haven't failed out of outpatient. That's wrong before they can go into inpatient. We need more accessibility to treatment. We need more recovery services, wraparound services in all of our communities, and we need enforcement. And that's what we've been working on, and I'm proud of my record on heroin, and we're going to beat this epidemic in this state.
Thanks. All right. I'm going to try to talk louder. I guess I'm the one that you can't hear now. This is George. You go first this time. There are a couple of questions on reproductive health rights, including the rights of minors. The one that's stated more fully, if there's a change in the federal protection of a woman's right to choose, what would you do to protect women's reproductive health care choices in New York State?
Well, I'm a person of faith, and I believe in life, and I am pro-life, and that is where I stand. And so I believe that the courts has determined the law and the Supreme Court, and I know that I can't change the Supreme Court, but I respect, and I will make sure that my wife, my mother, my daughter would have every possible access to good health care for the needs of the women in my life.
So this is an issue that George and I dramatically differ on. I am a person of faith as well. I'm on the board of the New York State Council of Churches, and I believe in the dignity of women. To me, there's no question. Every woman should should have the right to make her own choices about her body. And that right is currently at risk. And because of George Amador, we have not protected that right in this state. We could have passed the Reproductive Health Act and made sure that every woman could make choices for her own body, regardless of what happens in the Supreme Court, or regardless of what kind of legislation happens at the federal level. And that wasn't passed. And not only was that not passed, but the Contraception Coverage Act was not passed. Now, this means that while we fund and cover Viagra, we're not covering basic birth control for women. And if you think about that, that means that we are not supporting women going out into the workplace and making their own decisions about their careers and their homes and their families. And that is downright disrespectful, and I will fight hard in the state senate to respect women, to trust women, and to lift up their dignity.
Please. All right, so I'm jumping into another field, jumping into the water quality. Please speak to the problem, to the issue of clean water in New York State for all citizens. Lead in school water, PFOA and contaminated private wells, yada, yada, yada. Sarah, you go first.
So oddly enough, to me, this is related to the property tax issue. And as a town supervisor, I know how squeezed we are at the municipal level when the majority of our property taxes are taken up by unfunded state mandates like Medicaid and schools. Then that leaves us with very, very little flexibility to take care of our own business, like our infrastructure and our water systems. And so they're aging and they're decrepit and they've been left to, this is the situation that we're seeing now. People are literally being poisoned. And so in New York State, we need to fully fund the cleanup of our water systems, to fully fund the improvement of water infrastructure. And the way that we do that is not going to be through property taxes. The local municipalities just can't take it. So the state's going to need to come through with its fair share. And to me, this is just another example of Albany politicians not coming through for local communities.